Crater Lake National Park on a map is roughly square with the volcano that was Mount Mazama and is now the lake in the middle of the square. As you've noticed, ecosystems and ridges and rivers don't tend to move in straight lines and squares. Conservation groups propose the designation of more land near Crater Lake as wilderness. The idea, or at least the discussion, has gained some momentum of late with political figures weighing in. You'll hear the pros and the cons of the wilderness expansion over the rest of the hour, beginning with the pro side. Eric Fernandez is Wilderness Program Manager for Oregon Wild, and he's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So we just heard the current wilderness situation, 184,000 acres within the park boundaries that are managed more or less as wilderness. There are some additional wilderness areas outside park boundaries, more or less contiguous. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, I think you made a good point that, you know, currently the national park boundary is, a square or rectangular shaped, and ecosystems and wildlife corridors don't necessarily follow those same geometric shapes. And so what we've done is we've identified the areas that are the most intact, the healthiest old-growth forests, the more important wildlife corridors and recreation corridors that lead into and out of the park. And that includes the backcountry of the park as wilderness, but it doesn't include any of the access roads or the buildings or infrastructure or anything like that. And it extends out into the headwaters of the Umpqua River, the Rogue River, the Klamath River, and even the Upper Deschutes River. So some of Oregon's most well-known rivers find their home in the greater Crater Lake region.
You know, it's interesting to look at what's been going on. I noticed that it looks like this particular proposal has been around at least since 2009, but Craig Ackerman from the National Park mentioned wilderness in some form or another proposed somewhere around 40 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. Congress needs to get on it. That recommendation from the Park Service is from the 1970s has yet to be acted on. So, you know, that's a good starting point. And, I think when it comes to wilderness, that is really the gold standard for protecting our public lands. We have all kinds of different designations from recreation areas to reserves to riparian areas. But if you really want to protect an area for future generations so that they can go hiking, hunting, camping, fishing, rafting, trail running, wilderness is really the best way to do that. And the one statistic I'll offer you is that in Oregon, we have only protected 4% of the entire state as wilderness. And that's a pretty low number. And, you know, yesterday was the Super Bowl, and so I'm in a competitive mood, and we're behind all of our neighboring states by a long shot. They've all doubled us up and protected twice as much of their state as Oregon has. And, you know, we have a green reputation in Oregon, and we owe it to future generations to live up to that reputation and protect our natural treasures like Crater Lake and the Rogue River and the Umpqua River.
I understand the competition. I mean, people like to get better numbers than neighboring states, but I mean, is 4% necessarily a bad figure given the size of Oregon and given the fact that when you look at both Washington to the north with Rainier and the Olympics and so many other natural features, and then California with all its different ecosystems, it shouldn't be a surprise that either state might have a little more.
You know, a little more, sure, you know, but I think we have a lot of amazing places in Oregon from the Eagle Caps to Mount Hood, to the Calmeopsis. Oregon has redwood forests. We have Crater Lake. We have the Willamette National Forest, the Deschutes. We have a lot of natural treasures. We just haven't necessarily protected them like our neighboring states have.
All right, so let's talk about what has gone on to keep the wilderness idea on the table for so long.
Yeah, you know, I think people really care about wilderness. Folks who value clean air and clean water, these are places that families have been going to camp for generations, places along the North Umpqua River there or places along the Upper Rogue River. I, you know, honestly just got back yesterday from a trip up to Crater Lake, and oh my goodness, if you can time it on a clear day in the winter, it is nothing short of awe-inspiring. And I think that's what wilderness is about for a lot of people. You know, yes, it's great that it provides clean drinking water or, you know, that's where you like to go fishing, but it's also really just a place where you can go to reconnect and recharge your battery. You know, I think at the core of it, that's a lot of what wilderness is about. And it's, you know, it's great for wildlife. And a lot of people like wilderness for different reasons. You know, maybe it's camping. Maybe it's fishing, maybe it's hiking. You know, there are a lot of good reasons to support wilderness protection for these places. And, you know, and it's, I think when we look at our public lands, it's not an all or nothing, all wilderness or all logging. There's definitely a balance to be had. But I think what we need to really do is think about what legacy we want to hand down to future generations. Do we want to hand down a legacy of militant takeovers of wildlife refuges? You know, Congressman Walden has proposed getting rid of about 200,000 acres of national forests. That's one legacy. Or do we want a legacy of clean water and clean air and bountiful wildlife and places to go hiking and hunting and camping and fishing and trail running? And then I think really importantly is, you know, what is the legacy Senator Wyden and Senator Merkley and Congressman DeFazio want to leave behind? You know, they're important players in this as well. And I think if people want to see places like this protected, I would encourage them to give those congressional representatives and senators a phone call and let them know.
Eric Fernandez is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is Wilderness Program Manager for the group Oregon Wild, which is making the case for an expansion of wilderness near Crater Lake National Park. And we'll talk in more specifics in just a moment. Join us on the exchange with questions, comments. And we do have an opponent in the person of Klamath County Commissioner Tom Malams coming up in a couple of minutes. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So it seems like some of the areas you're proposing to turn into wilderness are next to existing wilderness. What do the current zones lack, if anything other than size?
Yeah, you know, I think if you look at a map of the South Cascades and the upper headwaters of the rivers I mentioned, you'll see some protected areas, some islands of protection. But what science has really shown us is that, you know, in a changing climate, we really need to do a good job of protecting corridors for wildlife to migrate. And so that's what a lot of this proposal does, is it links up these areas of intact habitat and protects old-growth forests that we have so little left of, and I think allows wildlife a better fighting chance in a changing climate.
Now, in acres, you're talking potentially 500,000 new or more new acres of wilderness here. Is this the issue?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, that can be deceptive for those who live on, you know, quarter acre. That sounds like a lot. But when you look at the state of Oregon, it's 63 million acres in size. And, you know, the threats are very real. The threats, there was a proposal that came out from the Forest Service for 500,000 acres or several hundred thousand acres of logging in eastern Oregon last week. And so, you know, I think it's really not so much about the acres, it's about the places. And do those places deserve protection? And, you know, if it's important wildlife habitat and is providing clean drinking water, it should be protected. You know, and I think your upcoming guest has some quotes he's made of, you know, one more acre is too much. And, you know, I think we at Oregon Wild and some of our partner groups at Environment Oregon, Umpqua Watersheds and Crater Lake Institute, you know, we're all willing to have reasonable compromises with different folks. But when someone says, you know, not one more acre, it's more of an ideological approach, and, you know, that's not the most constructive approach. I think there's room for compromise and for people to work together. You know, we've got 250 businesses and a petition recently with over 30,000 people that have supported this idea of protecting Crater Lake. And, you know, there's a groundswell of support, and so that's really exciting, and I think people are starting to rally behind making sure we live up to our green reputation to protect places like Crater Lake.
What kinds of what are the values that you seek to improve through the protection of additional wilderness? And we talk about protecting the ecosystem of the lake, the views from the rim. Is it less about the lake itself than just having good forests and nice streams nearby? I mean, what goes into this set of ideas that leads to this particular wilderness proposal?
Yeah, good question. You know, so the lake is at the center of this proposal, and what we're really, it's designed to do is to protect the areas around Crater Lake as well as the backcountry of the park. So areas that, the wildlife corridors that lead into and out of the park. So for example, you know, one of the reasons we're doing this is those areas are threatened right now. In the upper Deschutes, there's a logging project called Marsh, and that's a, you know, odd name for a logging project, but so it is. That would log in one of those wildlife corridors. In the Upper Rogue area, there's a project called the Bybee Logging Project that would log big trees right up to the edge of Crater Lake National Park. This is not something that Oregon Wild and others really want to see. I don't think this is gonna, those logging plans are going to be good for wildlife. Look, there's room for thinning on our national forests, and in some places that makes sense, but you know, it does not make sense when you're in really important wildlife corridors and old-growth forests, you know, places that people like to go hiking and fishing and camping. Those are areas that should be protected for future generations.
Is this, you know, but particularly with the concerns about the Bybee timber sale, I mean, that is being addressed on its own merits. I mean, could that not be the case with other timber sales, that you would just say, look, you know, we want this timber sale modified for this reason or not offered, rather than a wilderness designation?
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of different ways to go about this, and part of this proposal is about being proactive and before these areas are threatened, to go out and protect them. You know, there's also the proposed helicopter tours a couple of years ago to be buzzing around the park, and you know, who knows what next year's bad idea will be that would degrade the experience up at Crater Lake. So it should really be protected long term.
All right, we have more time with you, Eric, so stick on the line and we'll come back to you. We're talking about Crater Lake and the proposal for expanded wilderness near Crater Lake National Park with Eric Fernandez. We'll come back and talk with him and take your phone calls and emails if you'd like to join us when we return to the Jefferson Exchange in 1 minute. . 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking about Crater Lake in this hour. We got some general notes on what's going on at Crater Lake from the park superintendent. Now we've shifted our discussion to the idea of wilderness designation and the idea of putting more than 500,000 acres of new land into wilderness in the general vicinity of Crater Lake. Eric Fernandez is the Wilderness Program Manager for Oregon Wild, obviously pro-wilderness here. So Eric, you mentioned helicopters in passing. Let's talk about this a little more at length. Would the wilderness designation not allow helicopter flyovers on the way to Crater Lake?
Yeah, you know, wilderness protection is really good at protecting areas. As I mentioned, it's the gold standard for protecting our public lands. The way this proposal is drawn up, we would include a provision that would discourage helicopter flights over Crater Lake National Park. Ironically, a little-known fact, there is a helicopter sitting at the bottom of Crater Lake right now. It crashed in the late 90s and was deemed too risky and not worth it to try and get that out of the bottom of the lake, and it wasn't doing any long-term damage there. So, you know, one is enough. One is probably too many. We would really like to keep those helicopters from buzzing around and ruining the experience for others, enjoying peace and solitude around the rim or along the Pacific Crest Trail there. You know, as you mentioned, or Craig mentioned, record visitorship. You know, are people coming to see the clear cuts around or on the way up to Crater Lake? I don't think so. I think people are coming because of the natural wonders in that area. And you know, there's a lot of value to having a diversified economy, and I think, you know, some of the opposition to this proposal is, you know, really the pro-logging perspective. And you know, as I mentioned earlier, there's room for thinning on our national forests. It doesn't have to be an all or nothing, but when it comes to these really important places, you know, some of those should be protected. And 4% of Oregon is not enough protection. And, you know, unfortunately, we've seen some opposition from local elected officials. But, you know, if we look back at conservation efforts in the past, it's been almost universal that wilderness has been opposed by local elected officials every time in the past. So even Crater Lake National Park, when that was being designated, there was local opposition to that. You know, does that mean we shouldn't have protected the Three Sisters Wilderness or the Wild Rogue or Crater Lake National Park? Fortunately, at the time, people, our leaders in Congress, saw a different future, one that protected the places that we can take our kids to and go and experience what an old-growth forest looks like. Like I saw yesterday up at Crater Lake, you know, that is something I hope everyone gets to see and future generations get to see it without being buzzed by helicopters and worrying about looking out at views that have nothing but pockmarked landscapes with clear cuts all over the place. And so, you know, there is a vision here, and there are choices to make, and I am hopeful that Congress will make the right decision and think about the future when they decide on Crater Lake.
We have an email here from Bruce in Ashland. He says, please address the lack of fire. Wilderness areas are just as overgrown and have been fire suppressed. If we don't have an active wilderness fire regime, we will just be locking up and protecting too much land that we're not properly managing. Also, as far as climate change, your concern and the wildlife card is that there are too many high elevation wildernesses. We need wilderness areas planned out and mapped to include lower elevation too.
Yes, interesting mix of good points. The last point there, that wilderness at high elevations doesn't account for protecting low elevation habitats. And this proposal to protect about an 80-mile wildlife corridor along the crest of the Cascades would do a great job there. It would also extend down into some important lower elevation habitats along the Umpqua River, some lower elevation areas down into the Rogue and the Rogue Umpqua Divide. So there is a look at that. It is important from a scientific perspective that, you know, science shows wildlife in a changing climate are going to need north-south corridors as well as corridors that go up and down in elevation. Unfortunately, a lot of those lower elevation areas, those are the easier places to get chainsaws and bulldozers into. So those have been really heavily logged. So there are not a lot of areas that qualify for wilderness protection, unfortunately, at lower elevations. And as to the fire question, we ought to be doing more to protect communities from fire. And that means fuels reduction around communities. That doesn't necessarily mean logging projects in the backcountry like Bybee right on the edge of Crater Lake National Park. That's not going to do anything to help communities miles and miles and miles away. So I think there are priorities that we need to look at, and I think protecting our communities is more important than questionable fuels reductions up in the High Cascades.
Eric, final question then before we move off to Tom Malams, which is how many roads, how many miles of roads, how many facilities either closed or otherwise orphaned by the creation of additional wilderness if you get this proposal to pass?
Yes, thank you for asking that question. It brings up an important point that there has been a plethora of misinformation on this proposal. To be protected as wilderness, an area generally is going to be in a natural condition. That means it's not going to include cabins, roads, lodges, or any other type of infrastructure. So really, access isn't going to change for the most part, other than a few little nitpicky areas here and there that no one really goes to. One exception would probably be snowmobiles and whether or not they are going off trail in some areas. But for the average person, this doesn't change access really at all. And I think there's unfortunately been a lot of misinformation about that. This is about protecting the most important natural areas. It's not about really changing anything regarding access. There's going to be about 800 miles worth of snowmobile trails that are not affected by this. All of the cabins around Diamond Lake and all those access roads, those aren't going to be affected. All the infrastructure up at Crater Lake Park National Park is not going to be affected. What will be affected is the wildlife habitat that will be protected. The views from those areas will be protected. And they'll be protected for future generations to go and enjoy and have hiking experiences and cross-country skiing and snowshoeing and hiking and rafting and canoeing and bird watching. So I think that's really what we're aiming for here long term.
All right, Eric.
And we have lots of information on our website, OregonWild.org. And so I would encourage people, if you hear something that sounds strange or that you don't agree with about this proposal, go look it up. Let's not let word of mouth and misinformation get out there any further than it already has.
All right. Thank you for that. Eric Fernandez is the Wilderness Program Manager for the group Oregon Wild.